Ever wondered why some people can look at a bottle of ketchup and see an entire social revolution? Or watch a dog walker and decode the hidden language of power? Malcolm Gladwell doesn't just observe the world, he excavates it. His collection of essays reveals a mind obsessed with what he calls the other mind's problem, understanding what's happening inside other people's heads. This curiosity wasn't born in an ivory tower, but from watching his mathematics father work on problems the young Gladwell couldn't begin to comprehend. After collecting 18 rejection letters from advertising agencies, he stumbled into journalism, a default career that would make him one of the most influential thinkers of our generation. What sets these essays apart isn't just their insight, but their radical premise that everyone and everything contains multitudes. A hair colorist isn't just mixing chemicals, she's engineering identity. A homeless alcoholic isn't just a statistic, he's a million-dollar question about how we solve social problems. Even failure, spectacular, public, soul-crushing failure, isn't simple. It's a window into how our brains betray us under pressure. When Shirley Polycoff's future mother-in-law asked if she dyed her hair, the humiliation sparked a revolution. Polycoff, who'd lightened her brown hair since age 15, created Claro's 1956 campaign, Does She or Doesn't She?, featuring wholesome models with children. Within years, American women coloring their hair jumped from 7% to over 40%. In 1973, copywriter Elon Specht, fed up with male colleagues objectifying women, crafted L'Oreal's Because I'm Worth It, delivered by the model herself, about self-validation, not pleasing others. Behind this revolution stood Viennese psychologist Herta Herzog, who transformed advertising from counting buyers to understanding motivations. Household products could become psychological furniture, offering affordable reinvention. Meanwhile, devout Catholic John Rock helped invent the birth control pill, convinced faith and science were compatible. Despite being called a moral rapist by church officials, he championed the pill after its 1960 FDA approval, believing it natural because it used progestin, a hormone women produce during pregnancy. In 1986, anthropologist Beverly Strassman discovered Dogon women in Mali menstruate roughly 100 times in their lives versus modern Western women's 350 to 400 cycles due to later puberty, frequent pregnancies, and extended breastfeeding. Incessant ovulation appears evolutionarily abnormal and potentially harmful. The pill prevents ovarian and endometrial cancers by stopping ovulation. Rock had missed framing it as cancer treatment rather than contraception, which might have won church approval. Instead, Pope Paul VI's 1968 encyclical rejected all artificial contraception. Professionally marginalized, Rock retreated to a New Hampshire farmhouse. In his final 1983 interview, the once devout Catholic who attended daily mass rejected belief in an afterlife. When Cesar Millan visits Linda Foreman about her aggressive dog Sugar, he asks simply, "So, how can I help?" Linda describes Sugar as 90% bad, 10% love, showing arms covered in bites. When Sugar appears, Cesar uses his hand as a mouth to correct behavior, physically but calmly asserting dominance. Within minutes, Sugar transforms from aggressive to submissive. Cesar explains that Linda practices exercise and affection, but neglects discipline. Cesar's mastery lies in body language. Dogs obsessively read human cues, posture, head position, eye dilation, facial tension. When approaching aggressive dogs, Cesar walks slowly and vertically, hands close to his sides, body perfectly symmetrical with a low center of gravity. His corrections are rhythmic and predictable, neither panicked nor aggressive. Cesar's journey began at 21, crossing the border from Mexico and sleeping in a dog grooming salon. He started his business from a Chevy Astro van while detailing limousines. His breakthrough came when his therapist explained that just as dogs need exercise, discipline, and affection, his wife needed love. To succeed in America, Cesar needed to become not just a dog whisperer, but a people whisperer, understanding that dog rehabilitation requires changing human behavior first. Jeffrey Skilling received 24 years in prison for Enron's collapse, but the scandal wasn't about hidden information. It was about comprehension. National security expert Gregory Treverton distinguishes between puzzles, needing more information, and mysteries, having too much information requiring judgment. Enron was a mystery. In July 2000, Wall Street Journal reporter Jonathan Whale discovered that $747 million of Enron's earnings were unrealized, essentially imaginary. Without these paper profits, the seventh largest corporation in America was losing money. Short seller James Chanos found plunging profit margins in Enron's public statements. Victor Fleischer noted Enron paid no income tax in four of its last 5 years. In spring 1998, six Cornell business students analyzed Enron and concluded it was overvalued. Their recommendation? Sell. All damning information was publicly available. Murray Barr was a beloved ex-Marine who fell down almost daily from drinking. Officers calculated that Murray alone likely cost the system $1 million over his decade on the streets. The problem of homelessness follows a power law distribution. Researcher Dennis Colhane discovered that 80% of homeless people exit shelters within days and never return. But the final 10%, the chronically homeless, consume the vast majority of resources. One study tracked 119 chronically homeless people who accumulated nearly 19,000 emergency room visits in 5 years. Denver's solution houses chronically homeless people in apartments with intensive case management, costing about $15,000 per year compared to $45,000 plus on the streets. But power law solutions create moral dilemmas. Hardworking families struggle without assistance, while chronically homeless individuals get unlimited support. When Murray died from intestinal bleeding, officers observed a moment of silence. Murray thrived with structure. When monitored, he maintained employment and stayed sober. Some people can be very successful members of society if someone monitors them, Marla observed. During the first Gulf War, F-15E Strike Eagle pilots hunted Iraqi Scud launchers using $4.6 million infrared targeting pods. Despite reporting numerous successful strikes, many confirmed kills were actually decoys or oil tankers. Pilots viewed the desert through a tiny screen, like driving down an interstate looking through a soda straw, struggling to identify targets from 20,000 feet up. This problem extends to medicine. In Joanne Elmore's study, 10 board-certified radiologists reviewing identical mammograms showed alarming inconsistency. Cancer detection rates ranged from 37% to 85%. More troublingly, mammography tends to miss the most aggressive cancers. Peggy Porter's study found 279 cancers detected by mammography, mostly slow-growing tumors. However, 150 cancers were missed, most emerging aggressively between mammograms. These interval cancers were twice as likely to be stage 3. The DCIS dilemma exposes further flaws. Danish pathologists discovered DCIS in nearly 40% of women who died from other causes, far more than the 4% who die from breast cancer. Better pictures haven't solved this interpretive challenge. They've exacerbated it by revealing more anomalies we don't understand. Jana Novotná's 1993 Wimbledon collapse against Steffi Graf exemplifies choking. Leading 4-1 in the final set, 5 points from victory, she suddenly double-faulted, missed routine volleys, and lost 5 straight games. Choking happens when stress forces our explicit learning system to override our implicit system. We overthink movements that should be automatic. Panic is the opposite, thinking too little, like when a scuba diver's regulator fails and stress wipes out short-term memory, leaving only survival instincts. Claude Steele's stereotype threat research reveals this mechanism. Black students underperform on intelligence tests but match white students on research tools. Women score lower on quantitative ability tests but perform equally when framing changes. Greg Norman's 1996 Masters collapse demonstrates choking's brutal mechanics. After landing short on the ninth hole, he bogeyed 3 straight and hit balls into water. When Nick Faldo won, he embraced Norman. "I feel horrible about what happened. I'm so sorry." both men cried, acknowledging something between victory and defeat. We live in a world demanding certainty, clear answers, definitive diagnoses, unambiguous intelligence. Yet the most important truths exist between what we know and what we can prove. The dog whisperer succeeds by reading what's unspoken. The intelligence analyst fails by drowning in information. The athlete chokes by overthinking instinct. Human judgment isn't a bug, it's the system itself. We can't engineer away ambiguity or automate wisdom. In our data-obsessed world, the most radical act is admitting that love, trust, intuition, and judgment can't be reduced to algorithms. They require something messier, more human, and infinitely more valuable: the willingness to see what the dog saw all along.